Amen. I am sure over your life you have had different offers. Different offers coming in different ways. A number of years ago, a long time ago now, I made an offer to Connie. I took her to a steak restaurant, which I had to get permission to go to. I was 20 years old and had to get permission to take her out on a date. That's the way Liberty was in those days. And I made an offer. I said, you want to spend the rest of your life with me? Now, you're going to have to judge for yourself whether that offer was any good or not, but that was my offer, and I was amazed that she said yes. And the funny thing is, later that night, we called her mother. In fact, I think the first call we made was to her mother. Sorry, Mom. And we called her mother, and Connie said, Tom just proposed. I'll never forget it. Her mother said, it's about time. But you probably get offers, right? Pick up the phone, and it's the guys calling all the time saying, will you buy this? Will you get that? Will you, come here? You get them from TV. You get them from the internet even. You even get them on your cell phones. The other day, I got my first on my cell phone. Picked up, and it's the church cell phone. I picked it up, and it said private number. I knew I was in trouble. And it was an offer, and I forget even what the offer was for, but I hung it up, so now I have this fear. I'm going to start getting them on my cell phone. And there's all kinds of offers that we get. There are some offers that stick in our mind. I mean, it's the offer that it just will not leave you, and there are certain things that kind of keep reminding you of that offer, and there's one offer I just can't get out of my mind. Maybe you know about this offer. In fact, it's been mocked and mimicked. Well, watch for yourself.
Unless you've been living under a rock
or a non-absorbent towel,
you've seen the ShamWow commercial.
The key to the commercial is Vince. The words of his pitch draw us in like a spilled beverage into a
ShamWow. Here are some highlights.
Doesn't trip. Doesn't make a mess. Bring it out. Wine, coffee, cola. That is going to smell. Made in Germany. You know the Germans always make good stuff. It just does the work. 50% of the cola right there. You follow me, camera guy? ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time.
These words are inspirational, almost poetic.
So we've taken Vince's pitch word for word without adding or subtracting anything and made it into a song.
The ShamWow song.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet.
This works wet,
this works
or, dry.
Wet or dry. This is for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. ShamWow. Holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Look at this, it just does the work. Why do you want to work twice as hard?
Doesn't
drip, doesn't make a mess. Bring it out, you wash it in the washing machine. Made in Germany, you know the Germans always make good stuff.
You know the Germans always make good stuff.
You can cut it in half. Use one as a bath mat. Drain your dishes with the other one.
Drain your dishes with the other one. Use one as a towel.
Use one as a towel. Olympic divers, they use it as a towel. Look at that. Completely dry.
They use it as a towel. Look at that. Completely dry.
Put a wet sweater, roll it up, it dries your sweaters. Here's some cola, wine, coffee, cola, pet stains. Not only is the damage gonna be on top, there's your mildew. That is going to smell.
See that?
The most absorbent we're gonna do. In real time, look at this, put it on the spill, turn it over without even putting any pressure. 50% of the cola right there.
You follow me, camera guy?
The other 50%, the cola starts to come off. No other towel's gonna do that.
No other towel's gonna do that.
It acts like a vacuum, and look at this, virtually dry on the bottom.
see what I'm telling you.
See what I'm telling you?
ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time.
ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time. Call now. Within the next 20 minutes, because we can't do this all day, we'll give you a second set absolutely free. Absolutely free. Absolutely free. Absolutely free. Absolutely free. Absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Only the next 20 minutes. Get it quick. Yeah, today's Palm Sunday. We know in religious circles, everybody talks about Palm Sunday, and I was thinking about getting a bunch of palms and throwing them all around the church so you'd have to walk on them on the way in. Just to remind us of what the day is. But, you know, when you think of Palm Sunday, what really is it? What really is Palm Sunday? I thought about that this week. And, you know, Palm Sunday, what it really is, it's an offer. It's all it is. It's nothing more than that. It is an offer. It is an offer to the Jews who were there in that day, and it is an offer to every one of us that's here this morning. It's an offer. Just like the ShamWow commercial. They're making an offer. Just like me offering Connie to get married, we're making an offer. I want you to know this morning, every person here this morning, Palm Sunday is an offer to you. Now, as part of this offer, there are four things that go with it. So I want you to notice the first one. There's some preparation needed for the offer. There is some preparation needed for the offer. If you look at it with me again in Matthew 21, notice verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Now, I don't know what was going on in the disciples' minds when Jesus said that, but he said, look, you go in there, and here's what you got to get. When you get there, you know, the guy is going to say, hey, go ahead and take them. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's going through Bethpage. We know that he came from Jericho. Bethpage is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. He's on the eastern slope of the Mount Olives, working his way to Jerusalem, and we know that as Jesus looked down into Jerusalem, Bible tells us that as Jesus looked down in, he cried. He cried over Jerusalem. You know what? I'm sure he cried over you if you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ. He cried. Cried over Jerusalem. He said, if you would only know on this day the offer, what is being presented to you. Jesus knew that when he got in Jerusalem, when he got past Palm Sunday, as he worked his way throughout the week, he knew by the end of that week exactly what Bob read this morning in the scripture reading would be happening. That people would be rejecting him and they would be shouting, crucify, crucify. Could you imagine that as Jesus is there in Jerusalem and he's offering himself, the people actually say, let his blood be on our head and on our children's head? They not only were rejecting Jesus Christ, but they were making the offer even for their own kids to reject Jesus Christ. They find there a donkey and a colt. Matthew is the only one who mentions both animals. The other writers of the gospel do not. I was watching a program this morning and they were interviewing people and they were asking people, who wrote the gospels? You know what? Most of them didn't know. Most of them did not know it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. who wrote the Gospels. They grab the colt. They bring the colt. As they bring the colt to Jesus, the donkey comes along. Jesus gets on a colt. He begins to ride into Jerusalem. Do you know when a conquering king would enter a city after he had conquered, he'd ride on a great white horse. And he would come as a conquering king and he would tell everybody, I've just won a great battle. Everybody be cheering and they would be shouting. Jesus rides on the colt, which would have been the youngster, the child of the donkey. Mother donkey comes along as Jesus rides on that colt into Jerusalem. You know, it tells us there may have been disciples already in Jerusalem that they were willing to send this colt with Jesus. And they were willing to offer the colt. Colt was a symbol of peace. Jesus was not coming as a conquering king. He was coming as the Messiah offering peace. You know, isn't it amazing how you walk around today and there's so many people that have just absolutely no peace? Yeah, I wonder if I were to walk up to you. And as I walk back, everybody's saying, I hope he doesn't look at me. Go somewhere else, but don't look at me. If I were to walk up to you, and you were the only person here, no one else was here, would you be able to say that your heart is full of peace? That's what Christ is offering here. He's offering peace. And that's what this colt, the child, the donkey that he rides on, is showing. And I want you to notice, they do this preparation for the offer, but then I want you to notice, secondly, there was a prophecy. Notice the prophecy in association with the offer. Matthew chapter 21, verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This prophecy, if you have room in your Bible, you can write in there, this is a prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah 9:9 that this would happen. That's the quote that we have here. Now, Zechariah is making this prophecy some 500 years before this happens. And he says that the king was going to come gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. 500 years approximately before it happens, he predicts that Jesus would do this very thing. Now, sometimes people ask, how do you know that the Bible is the Word of God? How do you know that this book that we hold in your hand really is God's Word? Well, one of the things that shows that to me more than anything else is prophecy. 500 years, somebody predicted that Jesus was going to come in, and he was going to come in riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey, and Zechariah predicted that. In fact, you know what? That's not the only prediction we have. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, Daniel decreed that the Messiah would publicly offer himself to Jerusalem, to the Israelites. He made a decree in Daniel 9, 24 to 27, and said that a day would come when the public presentation of the prince would come to the Israelites. Now, Daniel predicted a period of 490 years in which this would happen. And if you put this prediction all together, the end result would be April 6th, 32 AD. The date when Jesus Christ would come into Jerusalem and offer himself as the Messiah. It would have been clear from anyone who knew the Old Testament that this had to happen. It is clear from this passage in Matthew when he quotes Zechariah that Jesus was in absolute total control of the events that were now taking place. You know, someone trying to deny the Bible, say, and deny Jesus, say, well, you know what? Jesus really knew he wasn't the Messiah. And what happened was people started getting all excited about Jesus, and things began to grow, and everybody started getting out of control, and things got beyond the control of Jesus, so that he just kind of fell into what happened. Now Jesus said, look, go into Jerusalem ahead of me. Go get the colt. Bring him back. I'm going to ride him into Jerusalem. And then Matthew points back, you know what? This was no accident. It didn't happen by chance. Go all the way back to the prophecy of Zechariah. And Zechariah said that this very thing would take place. So this offer that is made was not an accident. Think of our buddy Vince. He says all day long, now, you know what? This is a very special offer, and I can only make it if you call in the next 20 minutes. And if you call in the next 20 minutes, you get this offer. But if you call in, you know, in 21 minutes, the offer's gone. That drives me crazy. I mean, on some days, I think I'm bright, but I'm not very bright. But I know that commercial is running all day long. And that 20-minute thing is just ridiculous. And of course, he's doing it just to get our attention, just kind of, you know, we're going to remember Vince. This offer that was made by Jesus had been out there in prophecy at least 500 years. And we know that you could go back in the Bible all the way to the book of Genesis. In the very time when Adam and Eve had sin, God promised that he would send someone to take care of that sin. I want you to notice the third thing about this passage. There was a proclamation concerning the offer. There was a proclamation concerning the offer. As Jesus begins the ride in, notice what happens in verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed the cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. Very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna, Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." There's a proclamation that relates or concerns this offer that is being made on this day. This is the time of the Passover. And the Israelites from many parts of the world would come back to Jerusalem during this time. And we are told that when Jesus came in Jerusalem, the best historians can figure out, there are around 2 million people in and around Jerusalem. 2 million. Crowded there. That when you get to the end of the week and Passover happens and they begin to slaughter the lambs, we are told that the river ran blood red. Can you imagine that? As Christ's blood is being shed, the river is running blood red. As Jesus dies on the cross for our sin. We are told in heaven one day that palm branches will again be part of the worship of God. So they shout. The first shout that they make, or the first phrase that they give here, notice, is "Hosanna, Son of David." Hosanna, Son of David. Term is a Hebrew word meaning "save now." And it carries the idea of "please save" or "save us, we pray." Son of David was the most common title of the Messiah. It's a messianic title. Jesus is coming in Jerusalem and all the people that are coming in with him. And they're probably people that had come from Galilee, from the very place Jesus had been. And they had seen Jesus' miracles. They had seen what Jesus had said. And they were there. And as he's coming in, they're coming in behind him and they're shouting, "Hosanna, Son of David." Pretty much saying, "Save now, save us, we pray." The problem is that they wanted Jesus on their own terms. The problem is they didn't want someone to save them from their sin. They really wanted someone to save them from the Romans. It's kind of like people today. "I'll take Jesus if he'll give me power. I'll take Jesus if he'll make me healthy. I'll take Jesus if he'll fix my family. I'll take Jesus if he'll make my life better. But I don't want Jesus if it means I have to turn from my sin. I don't want Jesus if it means I have to repent of my sin. I don't want Jesus unless he gives me what I want." "Hosanna, Son of David, save us, we pray." Notice the next phrase. They shout another phrase here as Jesus comes in. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." It's a statement from Psalm 118. 100 years earlier, a guy by the name of Jonathan Maccabeus, as he came in and had just delivered the people from Syrian domination, they shouted this very same psalm, wondering maybe if he was the Messiah. The offer that is being made here is pretty simple. Here comes the Messiah, and he is here to save. Will you receive him? Could you imagine if I walked down the aisle like I'm walking now, and I were to look you in the eye, I would stare you in the face, and I would say, "Here comes the Messiah. Will you receive him now?" That's where they're shouting. All the people are coming in the city. People are in the city, and they're watching this crowd come towards them, and they're saying, "Here comes the Messiah. Will you receive him now?" But as they come in, there's a question. Notice fourthly, the question. It's a question regarding the offer. People are in the city. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. And they asked the question. They said, "Who is this?" City is beginning to be stirred up. They're shouting. But the people in the city, they're kind of not getting it. They're kind of listening, but they want to know more. They want to hear what's going on or find out more about this person who's stirring up the whole city. So they shout, "Who is it? Who is this?" You know, that's a legitimate question. When it comes to Jesus, that's the question you ought to ask. Who is it? Who is it? And I want you to know this morning, if you get the answer to this question wrong, you have no opportunity. Your offer's over. It's done with. You're done. You have no chance to get to heaven. You can get wrong who I am, and many people do. People often... In fact, Jeff, I gave Jeff the phone number the other day of an electrician. Jeff called the electrician up, and I forget how the conversation went, but anyway, the electrician said to him, "Yeah, you know, Father Sika, yeah, I do work for Father Sika. I am a father, but I'm not that kind of father." So people get wrong who I am, but there's one person you can't get wrong. You better not get wrong. And it is, who is Jesus? Who is this that's stirring up the city? In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, in verse 24 to 31, John said, you know what? The whole reason why I'm writing you this book is so that you'll understand who he is. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if we're going to be saved, we need to understand that Jesus is Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 to 23 says that we need to believe the testimony about Jesus that the Father gave, and if you get that testimony wrong about Jesus, then you do not have eternal life. So the question they're asking is a very important question. If you get the question wrong, then heaven is out for you. See, we need to believe who Jesus is, and we need to get that right. And then we must understand what he did, and we need to get that one right. Who is Jesus? Well, notice what they say. Notice the answer they give. In verse 11, it says, the crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Basically, they give us a who, what, where kind of answer. Who, what, where? Who? This is Jesus. What? He's a prophet. Where? He's from Galilee. Who is this? Well, Jesus, the prophet from Galilee. And I want you to know, they get it right. This is Jesus, that's right. He is a prophet, that is right. And he is from Galilee. That is right. But I want you to know, just like today, they fell short. It's like today, people ask, well, who's Jesus? Well, he's a good man. Who's Jesus? Well, he's a good teacher. Who's Jesus? Well, you know, he's a religious guy like all the other religious leaders. So they're no different than people today. Here's the problem. They fell short. That fell short. They should have answered, he's the Messiah. They should have answered, he's the Son of God. They should have answered, he's God in the flesh come to save you from your sin. And it seems that their words, at least when they said was right, but even in their words, their hearts and their mouths were still far from God. Isaiah 29:13 says this, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only rules taught by men. By the end of the week, they would be shouting, crucify, crucify. So I have a simple question this morning. What about the offer? What about the offer? What have you done with God's offer? Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He offers himself as the Messiah. People are shouting, even though they didn't fully understand it, this is the Messiah. Save us now. They're shouting, Hosanna in the highest. They didn't fully understand. People in the city are saying, well, who is it? And they come back, and they don't go back to what they originally said. They just say, well, it's Jesus. He's a prophet, and he's from Galilee. But the reality is, on that day, on that Palm Sunday, Jesus was offering to the people of Israel a chance to be saved from their sins, a chance to have the peace of God. And they rejected that offer. And instead they shouted, crucify, crucify. What have you done with that offer? Have you responded to God's offer and received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, there's all kinds of people here this morning. Some of you who are here this morning, you might say, well, yes, I have. I have received Jesus as my Savior. Some of you are here this morning saying, well, I haven't done that. I'm still thinking about it, or I want nothing to do with God for a whole host of reasons. Let me say this. One day you will stand before God. Every one of us one day will stand before God. And when you stand before God, God is not going to ask you about your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your children, your friends, fellow church members. He's not going to ask anybody else about you. And you can't stand before God and say, you know what, God, I rejected you because someone else, or I rejected you because of this reason, or I rejected you because of that reason, but I still want to come in. I want you to know this morning, for some of you, this could be your final offer. As it was for some of those people on that day when Jesus rode in. This could be the final offer you have of turning to Jesus Christ. Don't be religious without God. Don't have a family who comes to church, but you're without God. Don't be without God because you think somebody else is a hypocrite. The issue is, what are you going to do with God's offer of salvation? If you want to receive that offer, there's two things you have to understand. The first is, who is he? Who is he? The Bible tells us that God became man, and he came to this world to save his people from their sins. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name will be saved. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have to believe what he did. That in a week from this day, this Palm Sunday, 5 days from this day, if we were living in that day, Jesus would stretch out his hands and they would drive nails into them. They would take nails and drive them into his feet. And he would die for our sin. Do you believe that when he did that, he died for your sin? And do you believe the only way you'll ever have a relationship with God, the only way you'll ever get into God's kingdom, become part of God's family, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, is to place your trust in what he did? Who he is, what he did. Let's bow our heads. What have you done with God's offer? You may not have tomorrow. Have you truly and really received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, your life will be different. If your life's not different, you need to go back and ask yourself what you've really done. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to give you that opportunity. Tell God, dear God, I admit I'm a sinner. And I do believe Jesus died for my sin. I want to accept that offer of the Messiah of salvation. Save me now. Father God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that has yet to pray that prayer, has yet to turn their heart to Jesus, has yet to accept the offer, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to work in their heart. You would begin to, take every moment, everything in their life, and you would begin to draw them to you. Father, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, I pray that every person here this morning would come to repentance. So work in hearts, Father. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.